weekend. Galatians 5, 22-23 say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. You know, the J.B. Phillips translation says, no law exists against any of them. You see, no law. There's no one who can make a law against gentleness. Amen. You can't make a law against love. For any person to have a law against that, that person must be an evil leader. Amen. So it says, there is no law against such. Now, I want us to look tonight on the fruit of the Spirit, but we're not going to go through every one of them. But I want us to notice some key points. There are four vital points I want us to know about this scripture, about the fruit of the Spirit. Number one, it is one fruit, singular. Let's go back to that verse 22 again. It is one fruit. Now, sometimes I hear people say, the fruits of the Spirit. It is not the fruits of it. It is one fruit that contains all of these attributes. So you say the fruit of the Spirit, notice it says is. He didn't use are. Because if you have the fruit, you have all of this. Amen. Amen. You know, so sometimes, you know, someone says, well, I'm good on kindness, but I'm not so good on love. Amen. You cannot have one without the other because they are all components. They are all attributes and the characteristics of the same one fruit, singular. So we're given nine attributes here. And also, when you have the fruit of the Spirit, you have all of these qualities. Amen. Amen. That should excite you. Amen. You don't lack love. You have love. Because as a believer, the Spirit of God is inside you. Yes. It's inside you. Never say, well, I need to try and find how I can get love. No. You have it. Amen. Amen. You are not lacking. None of us is lacking in patience. You know, long-suffering is actually more than patience. You know, when you say patience, it's patience. But long-suffering means you are able to suffer long. And to suffer long, the word suffer there is to permit. That is, you can permit people doing things against you for long. How many know that you need that in this world? You need that if you're a husband. You need that if you're a wife. You need that if you're, you know, a child, you know, a student, fellow students. You'll be able to suffer long, but you're not looking for it, you have it. Now, that's the first thing. What's the first one? It is one fruit, singular, having nine attributes. Number two, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit, not our fruit. You see, it says the fruit of the Spirit. He didn't say Chesson's fruit, Belinda's fruit. No, it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is very important because many times we try to work on love, work on having patience. Say, what I'm going to, my New Year's resolution is to have patience, is to have this. No, it is the fruit of the, God does not expect you to use your human abilities to live in this world. He doesn't expect us to use our natural human abilities and qualities because they fail. How many know that we fail? As humans, we fail. So that's why he has given us his Spirit. And the Spirit he's given to us, what does he do? He produces the fruit. He produces the fruit. What we do is to learn how we can let that fruit show or shine through our lives. That's really what we need to learn. Not to have it, because we have it, amen. It is, how do I allow it to show, to be displayed in my life, to be revealed in my life? So it is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So we are not to struggle to produce any of these qualities. They are in us through the Spirit of God who is in us. Hallelujah. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, in another translation, the New Living Translation. The New Living Translation, Galatians 5, 22. Say, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. In where? In our lives. He produces it. That's what it means, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Say, he produces. So right now, love is being produced inside you. It's like a farmer who has a huge harvest on his field, but he doesn't go to harvest. You know, there is a time for planting, and there is a time for harvesting. So let's say the farmer plants and does not go to harvest, you see. So what happened is got it, but he's not able to enjoy the benefits of that harvest. The same thing. So he says, the fruit the Holy Spirit produces. I like what the Amplified Version says. Look at the Amplified Version. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us. You see, it is because he is in us that we have this. Not in our own strength. I could try and try to be loving. I couldn't do it. I will fail. Amen. Hallelujah. So it is the fruit that the Holy Spirit produces. And I love that. It says the result of his presence within us. Look at what he calls love. He says it's love. Unselfish concern for others. Now, we will look at these things, but actually that's the next point. Number three is the fruit of the Spirit is being produced in every believer. No, that's not the one. It's in every believer. What we need to do is to learn to show, to let it shine through our lives. Amen. Through our lives. I think I'm going too fast. Hallelujah. Romans 5:5. It says, and hope does not put us to shame. So anybody who is hoping for anything with God today, you will not be disappointed. Amen. The Bible says your expectations shall not be cut off. It shall be established. Amen. So it says the hope that we have in God will not put you to shame. What it means, put to shame means it will not disappoint you. What you are expectant, you will see the manifestation. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, because God's love has been what? Poured into our hearts. Look at the word he used. It's been poured. So we're not having, you know, small love. It is the very love of God. It is the fruit of the Spirit, and it is the love of God. Now, don't love people with your love. You know what your love will say? As soon as they offend you, you tick. One, two, three, strike. Amen. And then you say, now I've had enough. I've tried. That's your love. The love of God never fails. That's why I say 1 Corinthians, that love never fails. It's not talking about everybody's kind of love. It is agape, the love of God. You say, God's love has been poured upon us. So we're trying to use our own love. You know, my uncle, thank God my uncle is saved now, and he's so kind, he's so wonderful. He's been a kind man, very kind. The only thing is that he was in the military. And every time he offended you, he would keep a diary. You know what the Bible says? Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Now, if love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, what record does it keep? A record of good. So when people have done nice things, keep that record. The reason we get offended a lot with people is because we don't keep the record of anything good about them. Amen. Amen. So he said, God's love has been poured, so he will keep that. And when you offend, he will give you statistics and data. He will give you with dates. With dates. And in fact, you know, my wedding, he didn't attend it. This is my uncle. He's the one, through him, that I went to military school. He's the one who got the form for me. In fact, I lived in his house till I got married. I got married from his house. And my mom came Everybody was begging him. You know why? He said, some few years back, my older brother offended him. And he gave the date, he gave the situation. And so, because of that, he did not attend. Thank God for salvation. He's a changed man. Amen. No, it's not that I offended him, but someone connected to me offended. That's human love. Human love will fail. But you see, if my uncle was to tell me, he would say, Cheson, I love you. You are very precious to me. See, human love will fail. So God's love has been poured in our hearts. We are to love people with the love of God, not with our love. We are to, you know, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. You are not to try and make peace with people with your own kind of peace. That's why Jesus said, peace I give to you. John 14:27. My peace I leave with you. See, God has not left us as orphans. He has not left us helpless. We've been equipped with everything we need to live. The Bible says all that pertains to life and to godliness, God's given it to us. So the reason we fail is because we are endeavoring, we are always trying. In fact, we are most times, we are unaware of the fruit of the Spirit. We are only aware of our flesh. Amen. Amen. And you say, you know, oh, I really need to get rid of this, my anger, need to get rid of this thing. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the key is not to try to get rid of anger. The key is to do what? To walk in the Spirit. It says, against such there is no law. If you are doing this, if you are allowing all of these 9 attributes of the fruit of the Spirit to flow through you, all the negative things will not happen. So you are not to try not to do the negative. It's to do what? To walk the Spirit. Amen. You know, that's higher living. That is higher living. That's exactly how heaven expects us to live. That's how God expects us to live by the Spirit. The Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. God expects us to be led by the Spirit, by His Word. Amen. Amen. He doesn't expect us to act in our own way, in our own ability, in our own capacity, because what will happen is we'll get tired. We actually get tired. Some people actually give up and say, no chance. But with the Holy Spirit, it's not you. It is effortless. Praise God. It is effortless. Thank you, Jesus. Are we on number 3? Okay, the other one, number 4, is the fruit of the Spirit is not about showing how good a person or a Christian we are. It is about showing the world how good Christ is. You see. It's not so that people will say, oh, he's such a kind person. Such a love. Well, people will still say that, which is nice. But that's not the purpose. That's not the intention. The intention, because this will make it all different to you, that people will be able to look at you and the way you act and behave and say, this is absolutely not possible. It's not humanly possible to maintain your cool in the midst of all that is going on, in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the challenges, you remain calm, happy, and, you know, joyful, and all of you are still patient, you're still kind, you're still good. How could that? You're still gentle. How can that be? And then they will know it is not you, it is God. So it is about showing them, because how will people know Christ? If we tell people that Christ is good, is wonderful, but he's got many Christs here, hallelujah, little Christ, amen. Because the believers, I think in Acts chapter, is it 4? The Bible says they were called Christians. They were first called Christians, not 4. It must be because Paul was there as well. So Paul started from about 8-9, so it must be around that. So Paul, you know, they gathered together, and as they gathered, the Bible says they were called Christians because they looked at them, that they were acting like who? Like Christ. That's powerful. No, someone say, wow, me, little me, act like Christ. No, it's not you. It is the Spirit of God. We just need to yield and let him walk through us. Amen. And that is actually our occupation, to continue to learn how to yield, to yield. Praise God. Praise God. So what was the fourth point? The fruit of the Spirit is not about showing how good we are. It is about showing or revealing to the world how good Christ is. Amen. So we represent Christ in the world. With the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, people can experience Christ. They can experience him. Hallelujah. They will experience it. When people come in contact with you or they have dealings with you, they should experience a bit of Christ. They should experience it. And, you know, I see that as a huge responsibility for me as a believer. So everywhere I go, I want to exhibit the fruit of the Spirit. Everywhere. Whether I go to the shops to buy something, all the people serving me, I've got to show them the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, eventually, many of them may not know, but a lot of people get to find out that I'm a Christian. And you can see that they're thinking, that's why. That's why. You see, that's when God is what? Is glorified. Praise God. And also, what happens is, when you are living like this, your life is at peace. Your life is free from hassle. Is free from turmoil, is free from ups and downs. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you're on a cruising altitude with the Spirit of God. Matthew 5. You know, on Sunday, Pastor Yinka taught on the light of the world. Powerful message. And that's in line with this as well, because to be a light is also what? Is to show the fruit. Is to let the fruit shine. It says no one lights a lamp and puts it where? And put it under a bushel. You don't put it under a bushel. It's got to shine. So you have the Holy Spirit in you. If we are not letting it show, if we are not letting the fruit show, what are we doing? We are covering it. We are covering it. So that's our goal, the fruit of the Spirit. As we have communion with the Holy Spirit, as we are conscious of the Holy Spirit, we are also conscious of our character, of our behavior, and we are allowing the Spirit of God to walk in us and through us. I can't do it. When I leave home every day, I want the Spirit of God, no matter what the challenging situation I face, whether at work, I will not lash out. Amen? So if I lashed out yesterday, I'm forgiven. Amen? But tomorrow is another day. I've got another opportunity to keep improving and improving on it, getting better, because I want to represent Christ well. Amen. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to represent him well. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he said, you are the salt of the earth. Can you imagine? You are the salt. It says you are the light of the world. You say yes. Yes. You see, many times we place a high demand on the people of the world. We expect the people of the world to be patient, to be kind, to be good. How are they going to do it when they do not have the Holy Spirit? Thank God for training. The people have learned to be able to learn to do certain things. And thank God for laws. Say laws. That's why he said, against such, there's no law. You see, you don't have to look at what the law says if you are walking by the Spirit. Now, if you exhibit love, joy, peace, patience, temperance, yeah, patience, yeah, kindness, goodness, can you imagine if everybody in our neighborhood was exhibiting those qualities? There'll be no stealing. There'll be no killing. There'll be no abuse. There'll be nothing. There'll be no screaming. There'll be no shouting. There'll be no police. Do you know that? There'll be no need for police. Amen. The reason we have need for the law and for police is where? Because we are not walking. That's exactly what Paul was saying. Paul was not condemning the law. The law is good. In fact, it says the law is pure, but in your own strength and in your own ability, you cannot fulfill the law. Because if you miss in one law, you have failed in all of it. So how do you overcome that? By walking in the Spirit. Praise God. I said, praise God. And so tonight, I want us, before we close, just want to touch on joy. Because I sense in my spirit, the Lord is saying that there's need for people to be joyful. You know, we looked on Sunday, we looked about being forgiven. And God said, when you are forgiven, you should do what? Rejoice. You know, there's too much moodiness. Too much being, feeling depressed, feeling, you know, you are. This is by the Spirit of God. I sense there are so many people who are uptight. You are uptight. You are worrying too much. You are too bothered. You are too concerned about too many things. Like Martha. Say, Martha, Martha, you are what? Worried about me. Jesus didn't say she was worried about the food she was cooking. He said about many things. See, you don't get uptight over one thing. For you to be really stressed and uptight, it has to be many things. God is saying we need to break out of depression. Amen. To break out of being cast down. Amen. And start rejoicing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let me talk on joy. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Go to Philippians. And Philippians, I want to use the life of Paul to talk about, because we have a misconception of what joy is. We think joy is when things are going well. You see, joy is on the inside. It's the fruit of the Spirit. So it's there regardless of what's going on the outside. Praise God. In fact, the time you need to exhibit the joy most is the time when things are tough. It's when things are tough, it's joy that will lift you out of the problem. It will lift you out of the valley. Joy. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 So in the book of Philippians, let me just give you a quick synopsis about the book. It was written from prison. So Paul is in prison. In fact, he wrote about 5 books, Ephesians, Colossians, Philemon, and one other one. They are called the prison epistles. Prison epistles. The man is in prison. Now, I want you to read, if you go home, read how many chapters in Philippians 4 is littered with joy. How can a man be in prison and be saying, I am joyful? Look at Philippians, let's start reading it. The central theme of it is actually joy. Philippians 1, 3 to 4, it says, every time I think of you, now look, listen to this. And I will, there is a link between love and joy. In fact, every of those elements, they are linked to joy, to love. You see, how can you be thinking of them when you're in prison? If you think of yourself, you can't rejoice. You see, one of the things that goes against the fruit of the Spirit being manifested is self. If I am selfish, I cannot be happy. No self-centered person can be happy. Amen. It's not possible. So he is in prison. Look at what he's doing. Every time I think of you, I give what? I give thanks to my God. Next verse, verse 4. Whenever I pray, I make my request for all of you with what? With joy. Hey, well, you shouldn't have joy in prison if our definition of joy is what we think. No, joy is a fruit that the Spirit of God has deposited inside him, and it's a weapon. Joy is a weapon against boredom, against tiredness, against weariness, against problems. You know, can you imagine everything is like going upside down and you are rejoicing? Amen. I heard a minister, he said there was a day that it was like everything that was to go wrong went wrong. And he was a young man there, not before. He said he wasn't a pastor at the time. He actually just got saved. And he was expecting, now that I'm a Christian, because they've been preaching to you, and say, when you become a Christian, everything will be honky. And then that day, everything went wrong. All the people, things, you know. So he came home. He said his parents had traveled. He came home. He was the only one in the house. And he went into the kitchen. And there was not, he didn't put on the light anywhere. He wanted to stay in the darkness to show how depressed and upset I am. So he was in the kitchen. He was just thinking and thinking. And then he said he heard a voice. Say he's never heard a voice. See, the voice, it was of course the Holy Spirit just said to him, dance. No way. Dance? What kind of thing? How can I dance with all that I'm going through? He said, normally he won't even dance anyway, let alone now dance when he's facing. When things are going well, he just say, oh, he rejoices, but he doesn't dance. So God has transitioned from him just laughing or smiling. God has taken him to dancing. He said, dance. He said, debated with it for so long, and then he started in the dark day. He started dancing, making moves. He said he felt so stupid. You know, he looked stupid. He said, can you imagine if somebody was watching him and seeing him? He said, what's wrong with him? As he began to dance, he said he just sensed the presence of God. So the whole place was charged. He sensed his presence of God, and he began to laugh and rejoice and laugh. And then later on, as he grew up in his Christianity, he found the scripture that said, he turned my mourning into dancing. That's what God does. So you are mourning about anything today, God is turning it to joy. Amen. But he needs your cooperation. You need to rejoice. Hallelujah. You need to dance. You need to sing. Hallelujah. You know, our worship team, they are not just helping us to worship God. They are stirring you up so that you can continue. Hallelujah. They take you to the very presence of God. Hallelujah. And you stay there. Remain in the atmosphere of praise. Hallelujah. Joy. So let me tell you three things about joy. Joy is not dependent on circumstances. It is dependent on Christ. So it's not circumstances that determine my joy. It is Christ. You know the word circumstance? It's an old French word derived from an old Latin word. Amen. You know, it's a circumstare. And the circum there is to surround. It's like a circle, circum. It's like a circle. So it means to surround. And the word stare there is to stand. So circumstance means the situation you are standing in. The situation that surrounds you. The situation that encircles you. Now, if you are a believer, the situation that encircles you is not what you stand on. You stand on the solid rock. And it is the solid rock that will disperse of everything that surrounds you. Amen. Amen. So it is not based on my circumstances. It is based on Christ. Hallelujah. Number two, joy is a choice. You know, do you know, you can hear all the messages about joy, your response is a choice. Because if it's not a choice, God will not, the Bible will not say rejoice. How can he say rejoice? He should tell you that the next time something good happens, rejoice. But he didn't say that, he said rejoice. And that's exactly what Paul is doing. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Well, the 13, let me say the 13 about joy. Joy is from the inside, not from the outside. It's not what is happening now. Don't look around for joy. Don't look. You can't find joy anywhere. Joy is inside you. Amen. It is from the inside. You are the one to let it come out. Let it flow. Stir it up. Stir it up. Holy fire. Stir it up. Amen. You stir it up. Let it flow. Let the joy flow. Let it come. Let's not allow the moodiness to bring us down. Let's not allow the circumstances to bring us. Let's not stand in the circumstances. Let's stand on the word of God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I've got other scriptures, but because of time, Philippians chapter 2, in verse 2. Let's read quick. It says, fulfill my joy by being what? Like-minded and having the same love, bring of one accord. He said, fulfill what? My joy. In prison. Still talking joy. Verse 17 and 18. 17 and 18. Yes. And if I am being poured out as a drink offering, even if I'm being poured out, I'm being locked up, all of those things I'm doing, sacrifice and sacrifice of your faith, the service of your faith, I am glad and do what?
Rejoice.
And rejoice with you all. He's still glad. In prison, he's still glad because it's not based on circumstances. It is based on Christ. He's standing on Christ, the solid rock. Hallelujah. Amen. For the same reason, you also should do what? Be glad and rejoice with me. You know, there are people outside the prison who can't rejoice. But there's a man in prison who is rejoicing. Praise God. Because the joy of the Lord is what? Is our strength. Amen. Go to Philippians 4:4 and I'll close with that. Philippians 4:4. Oh, thank you, Master. He says, always be what? Full of joy. Say always.
Always.
Always. Always. No. Is it when things are positive? No. When things are not positive, ups and downs and all of that, whatever challenges we face in life, joy is our weapon. The enemy knows that when you rejoice, you will get strength. He doesn't want you to be strengthened because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It will strengthen your bones. It will strengthen your body. The Bible says a joyful heart is what? Is good medicine. Good medicine. The book of Proverbs. Joyful heart. It says it will bring. He said a crushed spirit is what? Is rottenness of the bones. So if you are merry, it heals your body. It is medicine. You know. Thank God for prescriptions. This is a divine prescription.
Amen.
A joyful heart. Be joyful. Rejoice. Be happy. You know, joy doesn't mean that you are necessarily showing anything on the outside. You can express it on the outside. But you can be joyful through your calmness, through your peace. You're just at peace. So I'm not saying you should go about saying, ha, 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 ha. No, no. That's not what I'm saying. I'm displaying some. No, no, no. That's, you see, that's really, you know, you can laugh and not have joy. But you are calm. You love people. You are patient. You are kind. You are good. Nothing ruffles you. And then people think maybe you are from another world. Yes, indeed, you are from another world. The Bible says we are in this world. We are not of this world. We should act differently. Joy. Joy. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again. Rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. We choose to rejoice from tonight. Every one of us, we choose to rejoice. Regardless of what we see, what is going on, we choose to rejoice. We choose to be glad and we choose to be happy. The time to be happy is now. And the place to be happy is right here. Glory to God. We choose it to be happy. We choose to rejoice and be glad. You know, students, rejoice. Don't think of, oh, I've got exams, I've got maths to do, I've got physics to do. What is that? Do you know, there are lots of people who have studied mathematics. They've done GCSE and A-levels. It didn't bring them joy. Are you listening to me? Yes, you should. You see, what you need to do is to have joy. Be calm. Say calm. Amen. Don't worry about it. You know, those who are working, you're thinking of your work, you're thinking of your business, thinking of how you make money, thinking of all that, thinking of all of your bills, what should you do? Rejoice. Hallelujah. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. Let's just thank God for his word. Joy. Thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that is in me. It is not by my power nor might, Lord God, that I will represent Christ well. Kuraba zakata. Tonight, I take on joy, joy, joy. Joy is in me. And I will go into my world to radiate joy, joy, joy. I will let it shine. Heaviness has been removed. Heaviness has been removed. I'm no longer heavy. In the name of Jesus, that spirit that is trying to make us sad all the time, that spirit that is trying to keep us down all the time, oh, it's broken right now. Oh, Karabazandaraba. You are no longer standing in that cycle. The Bible says you have gone around this mountain long enough. Move you northwards. Hallelujah. We are moving northwards. We are moving forward with joy, with joy, with celebration. The voice of singing and rejoicing. Then the tabernacles of the righteous. Thank you, Lord. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God.